You are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek.
All right. We're rolling. It's on. Okay. It begins.
Oh, snap.
Lovey, why did we decide to do a show? There are enough podcasts in the world.
Right, there are like 18 million, but there isn't one with Scott and Lovey, okay?
Or Lovey and Scott.
With Lovey and Scott, so it's like... Why not have Ratchet and the Geek? And really, depending on what we're talking about, one of us is the Ratchet one, the other one is the Geek. So it's quite interchangeable.
It is interchangeable. It flips back and forth on a regular basis.
It absolutely does.
And you know the irony of all this is that I got my other show, which is technical, and I've been talking about how on that show, it's the podcast that is guaranteed not to waste your time. I suspect this show will be slightly different in its goal.
I mean, I feel like any time spent laughing is not a time wasted. So our goal is to have folks laughing. And then on the geeky side, you actually learn a couple of things because we're both techies.
Yes, edutainment.
Yeah. So yeah, we had to do Ratchet and the Geek.
Now I'm West Coast and you are in Chicago.
Yep.
So
Chi-town.
I'm really not feeling the fact that you watched Scandal before I did tonight.
Okay, might I say Scandal is like everything to me. that show, there's like a 30-minute period of cool down that I need after every episode where I'm still like jumping off my couch and running around my house still like, I can't believe that just happened. Every episode.
Yeah. You know, and the first season of Scandal, it was okay. It was fine. Like towards the end, it got really good, but... You know, 2-3 episodes in, you have to admit that you were just watching it to see what Kerry Washington like was going to wear. But for the most part, it was not amazing. But we're, what, 3-4 episodes into season 2? And I have fallen off my couch at least 3 times.
Well, see, here's the thing. I've loved Kerry Washington's outfit since the first episode. They be having her laid. Okay, she be so fierce all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this season, the story has just been... out of control. It's been every episode I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah. The let's go hunting, let's go duck hunting.
That one from last week.
Yeah.
So see, Scott, because you're on the West Coast, you still haven't watched this last episode, so I'm not gonna spoil it for you or anything. But I will say, every time you feel like Shonda and her team of writers couldn't possibly surprise you more, they hit you in the throat with a different turn, and it's like, what
in the throat
when you watch? Yes, in the, like, it's a straight like throat punch. like they punch you in the throat with their words and their stories, and I'm here for them. Like I was saying I will give the writers of Scandal my last pink starburst.
You
that
know
is how much I love them.
You know that Kerry Washington's cheekbones are my spirit animal.
I would not accept that. Her lips are my spirit animal. Like, if you don't look at the rest of her face, her lips do all the acting she needs to do ever.
It is
so
true.
Seriously, just watch Kerry Washington's lips. You don't even need to see her eyes. Her lips are everything.
When you were watching this show for the first time, did you think, though, that we needed another kind of, like, walking fast down the hallway while giving us quick staccato speech show?
But see, no, but I feel like this... Okay, first of all, I feel like everyone in Scandal talks like they're in fast forward and they don't have time or air to breathe.
Yeah.
So they all like, and then you roll out, and then you just, unless you have to squint really hard, otherwise you will miss some words.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I have to like lean in and squint and sit there and just focus on what they're saying, because every time I don't squint, I can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, you actually have to adjust your eyes in order to hear better.
Right. Yes, because they're talking like fast forward all
the time. Do you know that this is true? I actually watch it with the closed captioning on.
A lot of people have told me that, but I don't have the attention span enough to be able to watch it, listen, and be reading closed captioning and then live tweet it. So I'm just like, I'm just gonna squint.
I TiVo it. Like there was a speech. What is the what's the name of the black guy who is the investigator on her team?
Harrison.
Hey,
Columbus Short.
So I had to back up a speech by him probably four times.
Wow.
Before I understood what he was saying.
Yeah, he talks very fast, but like the first 5 minutes of the show, I've noticed the first 5 minutes, they spew like 10 minutes worth of content.
Yes, exactly.
And then slowly slows down to where it's actually become slightly human speed. Mm. But those first 5 minutes, it's like they have no chill. They just ready to go.
What did you think about, is it Huck, the techie? What do you think about his speeches? Because I winced a couple times because he's just talking nonsense. He's just making up technical words.
You know, I actually don't pay too much attention to Huck's speeches. I'm usually just like, while he's talking, I'm just like, I wonder who he's going to kill next.
He is dangerous. So, my wife mentioned this last week. She was just like, I do not want to see him in a dark alley.
If I saw Huck in a dark alley, I would probably just pass out from fear. Mm. He's insane, but I love his character, though.
Oh, yeah. He needs his own show. Like, if we spin off into a private practice, you know what I mean? It needs to be private practice, Huck edition.
Huck is about that life. That dude is about that life. I love him, but he's scary as heck. He is so scary.
It is a techie thing to notice that, though. We techies and programmers notice when people say crazy stuff in a show. Like, if you remember Jurassic Park, and the girl's like flying through the directory structure, like three-dimensional. She's like, "This is a Unix system. I know this." And just everyone's like, "Oh, kill me! Oh no, no!" And last week, Huck was going on and on about how I've created a botnet and I'm doing PGP encryption across da 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 da. And it was just like, it was almost like they just went to the technology section of Wikipedia, picked a bunch of words, and just strung them all together. And it made it a little distracting.
I can see that happening. Those scenes, I tune out because I realize, okay, this is not a plot point.
Yeah.
You need to do something computer worthy, and I'll just keep up with the rest. Because usually I'm still trying to figure out what they said in the last scene.
That's true.
Like, I'm playing constant catch up.
But if it was something you know, though, if it was like, if they were setting up a WordPress blog and they were just making up some nonsense.
Yeah, I'll
like if they were like, yeah, I'm going to integrate a Drupal CMS with a WordPress plugin, and you'd be like, no, that's not how you do that, actually.
That ain't it.
Yeah, it slows you down. Yeah. It slows you down. Yeah, it's definitely found its legs. I think Scandal is my show right now. And, you know, I can't emotionally commit to too many shows at a time. Like, I only have so much space. I'm letting shows go. Like, Covert Affairs, I gave up. Fringe, I can't do it. I need to just let only so many shows into my heart.
Agreed. I am a fan of Scandal, and I have no room for anything else to take up enough space. Because I'm so invested in Scandal. Mm. I feel like, now this is geek speak. Like Harry Potter. Like, I feel like Voldemort has too many Horcruxes if I get too many TV shows that I care about.
See, I don't even know what that means.
See? Don't even worry about Potter speak. But, yeah, no. Scandal is my one show. I can't even watch Grey's Anatomy for this exact reason.
Yeah. I watch Homeland and I watch Dexter. Those are shows that I can get deep into. And every once in a while, they'll let me down. Like Dexter a couple seasons ago. It's just like, ah, man, Dexter jumped the shark. And then they'll do some crazy thing. I'm like, I'm back. Oh, I always loved you, Dexter. Oh, and Breaking Bad.
Ah, Breaking Bad. Oh, don't get me started on Breaking Bad. I'm so mad I have to wait till next summer to watch it.
Yeah. But you have room in your life for Scandal and Breaking Bad.
Oh, y'all, absolutely. What? Yeah, absolutely. And Mad Men now, but that's a different story.
Now, do you have a TiVo or an iPad? Do you ever copy Scandal, like, down onto your iPad and take it with you?
No, I have DVR. I DVR stuff. Mm. I don't really use my iPad to watch stuff.
Mm.
Maybe because I'm, yeah.
Well, the new iPad mini came out. Would you do it? Would you watch Scandal if it were on a 7-inch screen?
Here's the thing. I have a Samsung S3 Galaxy, which is basically an iPad mini. Like, every time someone sees my phone, they're like, why are you carrying around an iPad mini? Because my phone screen is actually, if you look up the specs, 4.8 inches.
That's true. And you're a small person. It's as big as your head.
It's huge. And I'm coming from BlackBerry. Don't roast me on that. I'm coming from BlackBerry land. So this phone is like moving from a Volkswagen to like an Escalade.
Mm. How do you feel holding that giant slate up against your head, though, and trying to talk on it?
You're trying to play me like I'm short. I see you.
I'm just saying you have to have a Bluetooth.
A lot of times I actually just put it on speaker. The speaker is fantastic.
Mm.
So,
oh, check this out. I was on a plane a couple of days ago, and there was this older woman behind me, and she was talking on her phone, and it was up against her ear, but the speakerphone was on.
What?
She's talking, but the speakerphone was on. No, but she didn't know it was on. So she's like, yeah, I'm flying into Denver. And then the other person, like, we could all hear. And he was just like, yeah, girl, I'll pick you up at the airport. And I was like, what is the protocol? Am I supposed to say, like, I just tapped her on the knee and I said, I'm sorry, your phone is on. Can I help you with that? And she, you know what she said? She said, what? What?
You're like, ma'am, this is not a Cricket's phone. Remember those Nextel chirp phones? That's what that reminds me of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, push to talk. I don't know why that's useful. I guess if you're a warehouseman.
Yeah, but when I was in high school, people would be on the bus with their chirp phones feeling too cool. Like, if you don't turn that off, like, chirp. Like, are you using a walkie-talkie right now?
So if you have a phone that is a swollen iPhone, you have what's it called? G3?
Look at you. Samsung S3, the Galaxy.
Okay, Galaxy S3, that is almost iPad mini size. While my iPad is shrinking, we're going to cross each other. Are we going to end up with a phone that's 7 inches and a tablet that's 4? I mean...
Oh God, I hope not. Are you getting an iPad mini?
No, it's too small and the resolution is too low. It's 1024 by 768.
Oh, so what's so special about the iPad?
It's 7 inches. It competes with a Kindle Fire, I guess. I mean, it's the size people want. But see, it's too big for my back pocket. If I had a pea coat or I lived in, you know, maybe I would carry it. But it's just, I have a phone. Like, if you have a Galaxy S3, you wouldn't want an iPad mini. You have a big screen.
See, yeah, my screen is huge and I'm good on it. I have an iPad. I have an S3. I'm good. If I was to go buy Apple mini at this point, I would just be really, really, really greedy. So,
Do you have a Kindle? Yeah. Do you read on your phone?
No, I read. I have a Kindle app and a Nook app on my iPad.
But so you don't think, oh, I need a Kindle in my life. I need e-ink.
No, I honestly feel like right now, and this is coming from a gadget freak, I have too many gadgets.
What do you have? What do you have in your bag?
iPod Touch, Samsung S3, iPad. And I have my MacBook, of course. And what else? Yeah, that's it.
You need to justify that iPod Touch. What is that about?
I got the iPod Touch first. That is from October 2010. It's the reason why I actually got Instagram before the rest of my BlackBerry folks did. It's because I had my iPod Touch. So I just downloaded Instagram because the iPod Touch is like an iPod but without phone calls. But I could have even jailbreaked it and made it a phone call, like, so it could have been an iPhone.
But why do you have it now? Like, you have all the gadget slots, like, equipped.
Because my music is still on there, so I just use it mainly for the music. I don't want to use my Samsung S3 for music because it's going to drain all the battery.
Mm.
And I don't want to use my iPad for music because if I'm on the bus, I don't want to be using my... that would look really goofy.
Yeah, any goofier than taking a photograph with an iPad?
Oh yeah, that looks terrible too.
You saw that picture. Yeah, you saw the picture of Spike Lee taking a picture of Obama with an iPad.
Yeah, I did.
Lord. Well, I have. Let me see. What do I have? I have my iPad 3. I have my Ultrabook, which is like a little Intel laptop. I have and I just got a Kindle. I got a Paperwhite Kindle. So this is the touch Kindle with the light. That it has like it has LEDs at the bottom of the screen that kind of flood the screen, so it makes the page look white like paper.
Ooh,
yeah,
fancy.
It is fancy, but it's not as good as my original Kindle. And I'm a Kindle guy. Like, I'm all about novels and stuff. So I'm into my Kindle, and it might be one more gadget than I need. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I'm not quite 100% there. I wrote an article, a review about it that we'll put in the show notes. That, you know, I want to love it, but, you know, what I ended up saying was, it's fine, it's all right, you know, it's great, you know, it is what it is, but it didn't blow me away. Like, you probably remember the first time you saw a Kindle and you looked at the screen and it's like, what is going on here?
Right.
Right, it's not lit up, it's not got a backlight, it doesn't feel like a monitor. So, I mean, there's something to be said for e-ink, but at the same time, I don't know. It's not an iPad. It's not an iPod. It's It's just a book. So I'm going back and forth, but it's small enough that I keep throwing it in my bag.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that for a minute. Like, unless one of my other gadgets somehow is given to somebody else, I'm good on a new gadget for a minute. Although I kind of want a new MacBook, but...
You have the Retina one, or you have the pre-Retina?
Pre-Retina. My MacBook is 2.5 years old, and lately it's been freezing. Mm. I took it to the Apple store, and they told me that it is showing early signs of mechanical failure.
Like, that means hard drive?
Yeah. And also, I'm kind of like at the end of my rope in terms of, I think I have like 15 gigs of space left.
Now, are you backed up? Like, I mean, when this thing does fail, like, let's just say that because you mentioned it out loud, it'll probably fail tomorrow. Because you said
yeah, it. Yeah, I'm backed up. I have Dropbox. I have my 1 terabyte drive. So I'm backed up.
Okay. Unlike most people in the world.
Yeah, did you see Miss Gia's computer actually just failed and crashed and wiped all her stuff clean?
And she had backups from when?
I don't know, but she lost a bunch of stuff, and I feel for her. I was like, ah, oh, Gia.
That's really sad.
Man, I would be somewhere doing a wall slide right now. It would be a 24-hour long wall slide if I lost all my documents.
It's rough if that happens to people, but at the same time, it's got to happen because otherwise no one else will learn. You know what I mean? It's just really sad when it happens to someone who's got a big voice.
Yeah, and she had a lot of things on her computer, I think, because I think she had some designs on there. I'm like, oh, my heart.
Dropbox. And remember, not just Dropbox, but I've got Dropbox. I've got my external drive. I think I told you about this. I rotate two drives back and forth between the bank and my house.
Wow.
Seriously. Well, let's just say that Dropbox disappears, or one day, you know how it is, you never know. Somebody deletes a row in a database, next thing you know, you log into Dropbox, your stuff is gone. Then you go to your house burned down. It's over. So once a month, I go back and forth to the bank with this. I have two hard drives. I got them at Target for $60. Two 750 gig USB 3 drives. And they're literally, I got a label maker because I'm all about the label makers. And I labeled them backup A and backup B. And whenever I go to the bank to deposit a check, I swap drives.
Smart, man.
I'm telling you. I mean, I've got photographs from 1999 until now. So 13 years of digital photos.
Wow.
And I don't put that stuff in Dropbox. I mean, I don't really need 70 gigs of photos in the cloud.
Right.
So I'm just saying, make sure that if you lose that laptop, you're backed up.
Yes,
that
indeed.
That would be a story of fail.
Man, talk about fail. Okay, so did you read about the dude who tried to rob, he succeeded, robbed a church's chicken with a samurai sword?
Did he walk in like with the sword and threatened him, like, I want some chicken?
Yes. They called him a ninja with a hood and a sword.
Oh, hold up, I got to look this up. Kansas City, Missouri. This happened on Tuesday. This just happened.
Yes. So he went with a sword to a church's chicken on Tuesday night.
Okay.
And he's on surveillance cameras, like, with a sword in his hand. And I have so many questions. Like, one of them is, where did he find a samurai sword at? Like, do they sell that at Walmart? Like, I go to my local Target and be like, I want a samurai sword. What aisle is that on?
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at this video, and the best part about this, the dude that was there before him ordering didn't even sweat it. He's just like, okay. He's waiting for his order, and a guy comes in with a sword. He's holding it straight out. He says, give me the chicken. Takes the chicken. Guy next to him just waits for his order. Like, this happens in Kansas City all the time that people...
Maybe the chicken is really good, but, sir, what is your life about? Like your legacy is about to be the dude who robbed a church's chicken with a sword.
Well, I like the justification for why the customers did not fight the samurai. You can't take on a samurai sword with a spork.
You put a plastic knife. It's a spork.
It's a spork.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because if you remember just shortly after 9/11, if you went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, they moved the sporks behind the counter.
Did they? Why?
Because it could be threatening, I guess. I don't know. I mean, a spork is a dangerous instrument. It's a spoon and a fork, you see.
And a fork. See?
You got to understand. It's a spoon and a fork.
And a fork. This is the danger that we live in right now. Yeah, I know. This dude, I'm like, the world is super ridiculous at this point.
It is.
Actually happening. Like, people are robbing places with samurai swords.
Now, I know you were pretty pissed off a couple of days ago. And speaking
Man!
Of, what happened with the UPS guy at your house?
Oh, me and the UPS guy had a cuss-out match. And it's because UPS is telling me, I'm expecting 4 packages this week from UPS.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I shop. But they tell me my name is not on the buzzer in my apartment building. And I call them and I'm just like, it is. Mm-hmm. But they have my first name and my last name switched.
And this is the apartment you've lived in for how many years?
Well, I just moved here last year. But I've had many packages delivered since then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they tell me that, okay, fine, we'll make a note. So me being the nice consumer that I am, I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm also going to make it convenient. So I'm going to write a note of my own and put it next to our buzzer that says any packages coming to my last name, just call this buzzer number.
Mm-hmm.
UPS drivers apparently cannot read because I get another delivery exception notice in my email and I call them and I'm just like, what is going on? I called you guys last night. Long story short, the supervisor from the Chicago office tells me that the driver will come re-deliver it in 5 minutes. So I go downstairs to wait.
That's cool.
Driver. Right, because I'm a nice person.
Yeah, you're going to sit there on the stoop with your laptop, wait for the guy to show up.
Right. I didn't even need my laptop. I have my freaking iPad mini, Samsung S3. So I go downstairs. Dude shows up, jumps out the UPS truck, smoking a cigarette, huffing and puffing. And ooh. I'm like, you didn't pay attention to my instructions. He's like, show me the buzzer. Show me the note. I show him the buzzer, and I show him where my name is. And then I show him the note, and he says to me, pardon my language for the people who don't cuss, that shit wasn't there this morning, and this is when I lost it.
Mm.
I'm not sure what words I said to him, but I called him everything but a child of God. You don't cuss at me just because you're mad because you look walking around looking like a bodily function. That is not my problem, sir. So UPS, I grab my package from him. That's one of my packages. I'm still expecting 4 more.
Mm.
I get another notification in my inbox 3 hours later that says one of my packages couldn't be delivered for the same problem.
Is it the same package or the one they just gave you?
No, another one that I was supposed to begin delivering.
He did that to mess with you then?
I think it was a different driver, but even then I made the note. So this is when I lost all my cool and took it to Twitter.
Uh-oh. And see, when you go off on Twitter, and you and I have had this conversation about folks who go off on Twitter and folks who don't, I just can't bring myself to complain that loud. I've done it twice. Oh. I've done it twice to United Airlines, and I'll tell you, they jump. Like, if you holler, and they're paying, if their social media game is on, they will jump. I lost my Kindle on a flight, and they found it because I tweeted about it.
See? That's the thing. Like, I had already tried to handle this. I spoke to UPS on the phone yesterday 5 times before 5 p.m., and what I needed to get done was not getting done. So when I took it to Twitter and was being really loud about my complaint, they paid attention. Their social media person called me and was like, I will fix this myself.
Nice.
I'm like, why do I have to yell and write a blog post about it for you to pay attention?
This only works because there aren't like a huge number of people on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Like, if everyone was on Twitter, it would not be appropriate tech support.
But here, actually, no. The person who shows that's a wrong thing is Comcast. Comcast.
Oh, that's true.
Comcast uses Twitter just for that customer service, and people are constantly complaining about Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they jump on social media is they have no other choice. If they don't jump, other people are seeing their bad customer service happening live. They have to jump. Because me calling them is me complaining to one person and me have this tantrum in my own house.
Well, and I can't Google that later. If you leave a tantrum on their voicemail, that has no link. There's no permalink to your tantrum.
So me tweeting about it, Googleable, my 12,900 followers get to see my complaints and get to see that UPS might not be the more reliable place. So as a brand, they have no other choice but to pay attention to that. Otherwise, they will lose the game.
You got to admit, though, that this is rare. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had no problem with the guy in the brown shorts, like ever. I mean, UPS is super professional. Maybe this is just this one dude having a bad day.
No, nope. That turns out to be a lie because when I blogged about it and talked about it on Facebook, I have so many comments from so many people saying the same thing has happened to me with UPS. So, like, my blog post is full of comments.
Really?
Of people being like, Yes.
Across UPS or in Chicago?
Across UPS, across the country.
Wow.
So this is not just a me being a jerk thing. This is actually like UPS not being that professional. And actually some of my commenters have said they've worked for UPS. And as a result of them working for UPS, they would never really frequent UPS for their shipping thing. So,
well, I'm glad that they're on their social media game. But
they're on it. I appreciated that. I was like, yes.
Definitely appreciate that. So,
I thanked him tonight.
I'm looking at your blog actually right now. And is this a WordPress blog?
Yes.
You always show up when I'm Googling around for stuff. Like if there's some new thing, if I'm looking for a new show or scandal, you're in there. How are you getting that SEO so hooked up?
So I have been telling people all-in-one SEO plugin was awesome, but no longer. I found a brand new plugin. Well, it's not brand new, but I've found it and I've tested it on my sites across the board, and I can actually definitively say the WordPress SEO plugin by Yoast is the best one ever. It allows me to control my content, the way it shows up on Google. So all the descriptions of my pages you see on Google, I control that. So, yeah, like I've stepped up my SEO game this year. Google sends me 35% of my traffic now. So
cool. I'm looking here. It looks like 2.5 million downloads. So it sounds like you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's the same plugin that Mashable uses. Like a bunch of big websites use Yoast because he's a developer. His coding is good. Like, he doesn't make bloated code, and like his plugin won't like crash your website like a lot of the other ones do.
Looks like people trust him, and I see he's right. Yeah, he's out there. He's on Google Plus and everything.
He's everywhere.
Very
so
cool.
My WordPress bloggers, download WordPress SEO by Yoast. And there's a guide that helps you figure out how to set it up. It's a little bit more labor-intensive to set up than all-in-one SEO, but it is worth the extra 5 minutes of time.
All right. Well, we'll put that in the show notes.
Yes, let us do it.
So I got to tell you about my like cool discovery of the week. So I have my iPad, and you've got an iPad. And iPads have this thing called AirPlay. And AirPlay is like you're playing a movie or you're playing some audio on your iPad and you want to play it to something. Like you're sitting in front of your TV and you say, I wish that this was on my television, right? So if you have like an Apple TV, which is another Apple device, you can click on a little icon on the right next to the play button. And if on your wireless network an AirPlay server is available, you can just say, oh, living room TV. And then it just jumps, like literally the screen jumps from your iPad up to your
screen.
Exactly. You can play it to your screen. It's fantastic. It's ridiculous. So here's the thing. I don't want to buy an Apple TV, right?
Right.
But there are programs you can get that will emulate this. And two of the apps that I want to talk about are, one is called Air Server. It's at airserverapp.com. And check this out. I can actually, it runs on Mac or on Windows. Okay. So let's say you're sitting on your Mac and you have a video on your phone, you can throw the video up to your Mac. So I've got a PC here, and I can have videos on my iPad and then throw them up to the screen. So I can actually mirror with my iPhone 4. I can mirror it. So I can even test websites and stuff. So rather than me looking at the small screen of the browser, I can literally see a mirrored view of my phone on the big screen, on my big 30-inch screen here. So, and I can do 1080p high-def mirroring on Air Server, which is very, very cool. But if you have, now check this out, though. If you have an Apple TV, which is only like $100, you can throw your Mac up to there with Air Parrot, A-I-R Parrot, P-A-R-R-O-T, like the bird. So this means that you could say, like, you know, you're sitting right now, right? You're sitting right now on the couch. You've got your Mac in front of you. You got your TV on. And you could say, you know, I want that web browser, just the web browser, up on the big screen. So you can mirror that app up there. Very cool. You can check those out. Air Parrot. See, you're looking around. I can hear you clicking around. And Air Parrot's only like $10.
Very nice.
Yes, yes. And Air Server, I think they give you like a 1 week or a 2 week 2 week trial here. Yeah, here, a 7-day trial, and it's $15 and up to five PCs. both of them, so they're different kind of things. One of them lets me throw my my Mac up to my TV, or my PC up to my TV, if I have an Apple TV, or I can throw my phone to my PC. So the point is, no longer do I have to be thinking about cables. You know, I'm always plugging in my HDMI cable into my iPad and trying to get it to plug into my TV. So I'm digging AirPlay.
Nice.
Yes, check it,
always
check it,
turn
check
me
it.
Up. Chancelman has always turned me on to some new stuff. I'm like, word?
Well, hopefully, if we do this regularly, we will both hook each other up on new information and new products, new gadgets, new social media movements, foolery, tomfoolery.
Yes.
Yes, anything that is happening.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So I think
Ratchet and the Geek would be awesome.
I think it was a pretty good first show. We'll see. For the two people who listen to this show, it is
right for all two of y'all. Thank you for listening.
You can check out the show notes. Make sure if you search for Lovey, L-U-V-V-I-E, you'll find Lovey online. And actually, if you still Google for Scott, it's me,
you know,
and Scott toilet paper tissue.
I must say that is the coolest thing. The fact that you can actually Google just our first names and we come up on page one.
That's true.
I think that is pretty awesome.
Yep.
That is pretty awesome. I always tell people, Google Lovey. They're like, Lovey what? I'm just Google Lovey.
I'm Googling you right now.
One.
See, right
yes.
there. And you're actually above the dictionary, which is even crazier.
That's awesome.
Yes.
When we are winning at SEO. Look at that.
We are winning. Very cool. Cool. Well, this has been episode one, It Begins, of Ratchet and the Geek, and we'll be trying to do this probably twice a month, I think,
I think twice a month would be awesome.
And if someone gives us a tip or puts some money in the tip jar, we'll buy Lovey a fancy microphone, and it will sound just like NPR.
We will. And, you know, you can follow us on Twitter. I am just at Lovey on Twitter, and he is Chancelman, Scott Hanselman, so at Chancelman.
Very cool. Ratchet and the Geek. Step one, episode one. See you next couple weeks.
We out here.